All right, we are now joined by members of our race-winning team. We have Crew Chief Cliff Daniels and Executive Vice President and General Manager of Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Andrews. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand, and we will get a microphone over to you. We'll go to Jeff, and then we'll come down here to Bob.
Hey, Cliff. It seemed like, you know, before the race, you're saying, hey, look, you know, we can play this conservatively. Like, we don't have to go out and hit a home run today. Like, and then your car's so fast, you don't even have to worry about it. You know, can you talk about how that changes things for you guys now?
Yeah, it does for sure. And obviously coming into the day, it's nice to have the point gap, but I think the last round taught us that nobody is ever safe. And certainly with the point gap, we knew we weren't safe. So it's tough to, you know, strictly just tell yourself you want to call a race conservative. And then when we knew we had a fast car, I wanted to make sure to keep tires on it. You know, we never did lefts or rights. We were either four tires or I think we did fuel only the one time. So wanted to make sure we weren't really exposed at a big tire deficit or, you know, going to be short on fuel at any point. Trying to be smart about how we called that. And then, I think you asked about moving forward too. Moving forward, you know, we still want to be aggressive to try to get, you know, wins if our car is capable of it. I think as a company now, we've got to put our focus on making sure we get the 9 to Phoenix as well. But, you know, our job is still going to be to go win races every week if we can, and that's our goal.
Come down here to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Cliff, you know, a lot of times we hear people say, hey, the goal is to get to the Final Four because you just can't bank on what happens in one race. So, I mean, I would think 7 wins would be a successful season, but now that you are there to the Final Four, do you feel like whatever happens over the next 3 weeks doesn't define this year?
Yes and no. The yes part is absolutely we've had a great year, and I think it's you know, really shown a lot of strength of our team, of our organization. But to really see that through, right, to prove what we've hopefully earned, you want to walk away with a big prize at the end of the year. So, you know, we're certainly going to be focused on that as everybody is who's in contention. And, you know, I think changing anything for our perspective now would probably be a mistake. We've had a very common mindset every race throughout the year. It's what's got us to this point. So even though we're locked in, I'm sure my team's going to get a little grumpy at me on Tuesday because I'm going to walk in and tell them we have to win Kansas. That's just the mentality that we've had all year, so we'll keep it going.
We'll go over here to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Cliff, now what? I mean, you say you go in on Tuesday, but do you focus on the next 2 weeks, or do you specifically focus on Phoenix?
Well, we're going to – first, I think part of what helps the Phoenix focus is just the timing of the schedule. So since it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show, the truck is going to leave like Tuesday of that week. And the way these race formats go, like our hauler didn't leave until I think Friday morning this week. So you're just going to have 2 less days that week. So now we are very fortunate that we have a little bit more time just to really plan out the way the next 3 weeks can go with emphasis on Phoenix, where if you're not locked in right away, you're kind of giving everything you can for that week. And to not be talking out of both sides of my mouth, we have really good cars in the system already coming for Kansas, already coming for Martinsville. I looked at them with a lot of our guys last week. Both cars look great. So we're going to finish those out like they are already, you know, in process to be. And then when our Phoenix cars get in the system, make sure that they're, you know, top-notch and ready to go.
Are there any other final questions for Cliff or for Jeff? We'll come to Bob and then to Jeff.
Also, my chair has totally sank down to the bottom here.
That's all right.
Mine's doing
the whole time
the
you guys
thing.
Were talking to me, I was just getting lower.
I'm glad this is the only seal leak we've had all day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't worry, the floor isn't going to give out or anything like yeah. that. Kyle said something, mentioned to him that the last time a driver had 8 points wins at Hendrick was Jimmy in 2007. And he said something about, you know, some of these guys were on that team. I mean, are there a lot of guys who were with Jimmy back then who are with you now? And how does this run compare to that run 14 years ago?
From what I know of that run, because I wasn't at Hendrick then, I would say anything like that year after year is probably really hard to compare. Obviously, the record that Chad and Jimmy have completely speaks for itself. And to even be mentioned in a conversation with them, first off, is a big blessing and you know, pretty cool just to even have that. I think that there may be one guy on our team that was with Jimmy in exactly the year 07, and then three of our picker guys, I believe, have been on this team since 2009. If it's not 2009, it's 2010, that at least three of those guys have been together. Then there's another handful of us that have been there, two guys since 13, another two since 14, and I'm on the group that was the end of 14, beginning of the 2015 season. So certainly couldn't be more fortunate to have learned from the champs of, you know, Jimmy and Chad for the years that all of us were with those guys. And we have some younger guys on our team that, I think the way we operate, the way we try to go race every week has kind of resonated, you know, within our team. And we have such a strong group. It's just really special to be a part of.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I don't know the exact number, but I believe that you guys are going to have a shot at the single season laps led record since it went to 36 races at least.
That's cool.
Do you care about that, Mark?
I know it's a really big deal to Larson. I didn't even realize we were going to be that close in contention to it. So that's pretty cool. I think the way races are nowadays, we've seen, especially with some of the races that we've had this year where we've led a lot of laps and we haven't won. I would love to be leading a category of wins per year, but I'm sure that what does the King have? King has 20-something in a year, I think. King's got a lot, so that would be probably a pretty lofty goal to ever get to. But we'll take laps led if we can get there. At the end of the day, you know, taking our group of guys, taking our team, and all the resources that we have at Hendrick Motorsports and putting fast cars on track is so cool and so fun to be a part of that hopefully we keep it going. And whatever the numbers end up, you know, we'll be happy about.
Are there any final questions? All right. Thanks, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
And we are now joined by our race-winning driver, Kyle Larson, driver of the number 5 HendrickCars.com Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Congratulations, Kyle. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. We'll start right in the middle with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. I can't jinx you now. You're locked into the final championship four. What does that mean to you? You know, when you were going around the track, what were you thinking?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I mean, we had a good points lead or whatever from the cutoff going into it, but still, you know, Harvick had his issues last year and didn't make the final four, so that will always be on my mind. But we had a fast car today, and you know, we had a good couple stages, so even if I didn't come out with the lead or the win or whatever, I wanted to play it smart and take what I could get. But you know, I got good shoves from behind me every restart and allowed me to get clear into the lead into one every time and then do some blocking for a few laps. So fun on all those restarts, and we had a great race car to allow me to be aggressive with the blocks and fast too to stay out in front of William.
We'll come right here in the middle as well.
Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts. 14th career win. Just want to get your thoughts on breaking the tie with Chase Elliott and former Hendrick Motorsports driver Tim Richmond on the all-time wins list.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, hopefully Chase and I are both going to get a lot of wins throughout our career and catch, you know, Jimmy or Jeff someday. But yeah, it's been cool to be teammates with him this season. He's definitely pushed me to be better, and it's nice, you know, having him there to listen to how he communicates with everybody in the competition meetings and stuff, and really getting to look at his data more. So I feel like we've got a great bunch of drivers and teams and crew chiefs, and that allows all of us to go out there and, you know, make ourselves better.
Any additional questions down here for Kyle? Come over here to Jeff.
I know it's kind of a weird stat because it's like 36 races and everything, not like all of NASCAR history, but apparently you have a pretty good shot now to get the all-time laps led record for since it went to 36 race season. Do you care about that number? Like, do you care about that mark?
I definitely care. I don't know what the mark is or what the number is, but what is the number? Okay, and I'm probably at like 2,300 or so now, close to it. Yeah, so that'd be really, really cool. I led a lot more laps today than I thought I would. So yeah, it's definitely a goal of mine. I think somewhere in the back of my mind, like, it's a goal. It's not like something I am upset about if I don't lead any laps in a race or anything. But you know, once I am leading, I want to stay in the lead to help, you know, catch that record or whatever. But you have to have a fast race car to do that. And our race car has been really good all season long, especially today to have a dominating run like we did. And hopefully these next few weeks are a lot like today.
I think we have some questions in the press box. Press box, you guys can go ahead.
Chris Knight, GetFans.com. Kyle, I was just curious about Phoenix in a couple weeks. So do you like...
What?
Hey, like. Chris, we lost you.
I do like.
Got me now?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, do you like the benefit of having practice and qualifying, or do you wish it was like it was last year?
Well, I could kind of take it either way, really. We had practice at the 600 in Nashville, and we won those two. I can't remember what all races we've had practice at, but as far as the ovals go for practice, I think we've won those. So it kind of doesn't, like I said, it could go either way for me. I think, yes, I'm probably... I like having practice to give yourself, it kind of helps your confidence out, whether it's good or bad, leading into the race with practice. But it also gives, if your car is great or whatever, it gives other people an opportunity to make their car better. But our team's done a really good job this year when we have had practice of not, like, you know, getting crazy with trying different things. You kind of just get a head start on the race and your adjustments, what they may be. So, yeah, I haven't really thought too much about the practice and qualifying or all that at Phoenix, but hopefully it'll go good for us.
Are there any other questions in the press box? Any other questions down here? We'll go over here and then to Jeff again.
Pete Hronos, Race Talk Radio here in Dallas. Were you worried at all about the guys that were behind you that were on fresh tires? Because Christopher Bell on that last restart was in started third.
Yeah, so obviously you know, Brad had taken the top on the other restarts behind William, and Brad's a really good pusher. So I was nervous about that, and honestly, I was like, when they told us we were going one to go, I was like, please, Brad, like, take the bottom. And he took the bottom because I was worried – I'm sure you guys all write a story about this, but I was worried about Bell being behind me because just I felt like, not that he would wreck me or anything, but you know, maybe he wouldn't give me the push that I needed to get clear out to the lead. So I really wanted Brad behind me. And I felt like if Brad was behind me, I could anticipate it better because I knew I was going to get a good push, but I was ready for him to try and pull out and try and, you know, take me three wide or anything because, you know, he's trying to race his way into the playoffs and lock in. So I was at least ready for that. I wasn't sure what to be ready for if Bell was behind me. So yeah, I was glad when Brad chose the bottom and gave me a great push like I knew he would, and I protected a little bit and was able to get clear to lead. No.
You know, you had said from the start of the playoffs, like, you know, that Harvick last year was on your mind. And even this morning, like, 47 points over the cushion is not enough. And it seemed like you were just sort of anticipating, like, hey, I might have to race my way in on points. And is it sort of an odd feeling then to be sitting here like, oh, like, I'm in. Like, I don't have to worry about that for the next 2 weeks. Like, that part of it's gone.
A little bit. Not really. You know, I had such a good day today in stage points and stuff, and I was positioned well to where if I finished in the top, you know, four or five, I was still going to probably gain a lot, I would think, on the cut line. So I wasn't too worried about it. But I still, yes, I probably would have been – it still would have been on my mind going to Kansas. But as long as I went to Kansas and you know, ran up front in the stages and stuff too, I would have felt really good about it. So I just was more worried about, like, if, you know, like, get in the wall or something like Denny or Truex or get caught up in a wreck, stuff like that, which is now we don't have to worry about. So That's good. But yeah, I'm not going to plan on racing any differently these next 2 weeks. I still want to, you know, win stages, win some races, and keep this momentum going into Phoenix.
We'll go in the middle to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. You kind of alluded to this, but for a large part of this race, it seemed to be on kind of an auto control, and then the last 60 laps happened. During that course of time, you saw various playoff guys disappear. You had to hold off restarts, I think, 6 times in the last 30-some or 60-some laps. What were you thinking? Were you waiting? Were you just focusing on what you were doing, or were you paying attention to the scenarios that were kind of developing behind you?
Well, I was more just thinking about William and how I'm going to beat him, because I felt like he was the only guy that really had a car capable of passing us in the lead. So, I mean, even all race long, on all the other restarts and throughout those, you know, 50, 60 lap runs, I was just trying to make, you know, notes in my mind of, you know, what he's doing behind me, how he's trying to figure out how to make runs and stuff. And, you know, I felt like I was doing a good job of maintaining the runs that he was getting behind me. So I was making notes of all that. And then obviously things are going to get more aggressive there at the end. So trying to make plans for if he's behind me, if he's side by side with me, you know, finally stay side by side with me on the restarts, you know, what to do, how aggressive I need to be, stuff like that. So you're always trying to plan ahead and think ahead. So you're not really in autopilot ever throughout a race, even if it's 500 miles. So you're just trying to plan and be prepared for any moment that might come up.
Any last questions? All right. Thanks, Kyle. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.